Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. This audio file has been prepared for Al-Kawthar Institute students who have attended this course. Please do not distribute this file without written permission from Al-Kawthar Institute. For more information on our courses, please visit www.alkawthar.org. www.alkawthar.org. Jazakallah khair.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. We're continuing, inshallah, from where we stopped, year 617, one of the worst years on the Muslim Ummah. Now, we said that in this year, although many losses were inflicted upon the Muslim Ummah, there were two victories. Two victories for Jalaluddin. Two victories for Jalaluddin. However, those two victories were not taken advantage of because of the disputes, because of the dunya. And that led to the killing of the brother of Saifuddin Buhraq, which led to the separation of the 30,000 soldiers of the Turks, the Saljuqis, that came to help Jalaluddin. So now, that was the time for Genghis Khan to move ahead and attack Jalaluddin. Jalaluddin started on the run, just like his father did earlier. So he moved south. If you go to page 11, or this page is enough actually. He moved south, all the way to the river. And Genghis Khan is following him. Why? He doesn't want Jalaluddin to go away with two victories. Now, Jalaluddin is entering a new territory in India. In India, there was the Ghuris, Ad-Dawla Al-Ghuriya, and they were not in good terms with Jalaluddin. But at least, to him, they were better than the terrors. So, there was the river, they are coming after him, there is no way but to fight. He wanted to cross the river to make the river barrier between him and the terror army. There was no ships. He called for the ships to be brought for him to move. But there was no ships. He could not wait, so he had to fight. Again, that shows us that even the two victories that he achieved, were they because he was looking for jihad? He was fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or only to save himself. Now he realized that he has no way but to fight. And he fought. Historians say that all the battles before are like a joke compared to this battle, the one that took place on the bank of the river. And it kept on going on until the ships came. Did he say, I don't need ships anymore, I'm fighting? No, immediately when the ships came, he ran away. Where? To India. And now, for now, Jalaluddin is disappearing from the image. So this is year what? 617. All that took place in year 617. Now, in the year 618, 1 year later, the continuation of the army, the northern army of the terror, we said the Tatars, they have three armies. One of them going straight, one of them going a little bit further to the west, and one of them going south. And Genghis Khan himself was in Samarkand. So now, that army that is going all the way north, and the army that was sent directly by Genghis Khan, after the run of Jalaluddin, they occupied entire Afghanistan. That was in this year, 618. And the dream was achieved. The dream of occupying that difficult region of Afghanistan that is almost impossible to control. The Tatars, they were able to occupy that land. I mentioned to you earlier that the city of Maragha, which is currently in Azerbaijan, it was ruled by a woman. In that difficult situation, it was ruled by women. The Tatars, they moved ahead and they reached Erbil. Currently, what is Erbil? Do you know? It's in Iraq. So they are next door to where? To the Abbasids. To the Abbasids. Now the Khalifa realized that the danger is real. One of the sisters asked earlier, where was the Khalifa? Didn't he hear about what happened in Samarkand, in Bukhara, in Naysabur, in all these cities? Didn't he hear of what happened? Yes. What did he do? Nothing. Nothing. Now, again, why he did not do anything? Why didn't he do anything? This is an important question for us, because nowadays it's almost happening. When we say it's taking place somewhere else, as long as the danger is away, then I am okay. As long as other people are facing that danger, then I am okay. Well, that was the thinking of the Khalifa. It's happening in Khawarizm. I don't like them, let them deserve it, let them have it. No, they are Muslims. You are Muslim also. Did you help them? No. Now, the only time the Khalifa thought, because Erbil, it is, what is the map? We have this map. In what page this map is? Page 20. 23. This is Iraq, okay? This is Baghdad here. Erbil is just in the north. Currently, Erbil falls under the Kurd system. You know, in Iraq, there was a plan to divide it. And this plan actually until now. You see, when we draw the parallels, I just remembered this. I was planning to say it later, but we will repeat it also later. You know what they are planning for the Muslim Ummah? Every time they are able to divide a nation, they will do it. And this is what is going to happen in Sudan. Christians in the south, we cannot let them rule by the Muslims. So we have to give them independence. That's what they are doing. Make it like voting, make it like necessity of the current, whatever you name it, we have to do it. That's what they are doing. The more division they are creating, the weaker Muslims they are making. That's what's happening. Here now, in Iraq, we have Erbil in the north. And the northern place of Iraq now is majority of Kurd. And that's why they call it Iqlim Kurdistan, the region of Kurdistan. That region nowadays covers parts of Iraq, parts of northern Iran, here, and parts of southern Turkey, and parts of northern east of Syria. That region itself, they call it Kurdistan. And even, do we have anybody here from Kurd descending? No? Because they call for the unity of all these regions together. Until now, they have even their own language. They speak it, the Kurd language. In Iraq, in Syria, in southern Turkey, and in Iran as well, in that area. They are Muslims, most of them, the vast majority of them are Muslims from Ahl Sunnah, but they distinguish themselves. Anyways, Erbil, back to our thing. Erbil is in Iraq, approximately 300 kilometers north of Baghdad. That's how close the terror they are. That's how they are close to the Khilafah. So what did the Khalifa do? What did he do? He decided to declare the state of emergency. Why? Why? Although they are still 300 kilometers, what if they decided to leave Erbil and move south? They will be directly in front of Baghdad. He did not want that to happen. Why didn't he do that last year, year 617, for instance? In year 617, that's when most cities fell most Muslim cities, and he's the Khalifa. He didn't do that. Now, the general enlistment for people in the military. How many people did he gather? How many? It's in the notes. Don't think it's a mistake. That's true. 800. 800 only. Can you imagine that? That's the army of the Abbasi Khilafah, of the entire state. The strongest state, so-called, at that time, the longest living state at that time, only 800 soldiers. Why is that? Again, we blame the Khalifa, but also we blame the people. If the Khalifa was not righteous, what about the people? By the way, this Khalifa, it's coming to us, inshallah. He died in the year 622. He ruled from year 575 until year 622. That's the longest term for any Khalifa of the Abbasid dynasty. 47 years. For 47 years he was ruling. How much longer do you want? SubhanAllah. How much longer do you want? What did he do? So anyways, the Tartars actually, they moved south. And this army of 800 soldiers was dispatched. But the Tatars, they thought that this is a trick. That those 800 soldiers, they are drawing them to an ambush. So the Tatars, they moved back. They moved back because they feared that this is a trick. And Baghdad, by the grace of Allah so far, was saved. Wallahi, it was easily going to fall in that year. Look how much longer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept Baghdad from year 618 until year 656. All that time. Let's see what happened. So the Tatars, they moved from Erbil to Tabriz. Tabriz in Iran now. And again, it sounds like strange, from Iraq to Iran. They are looking for the lines, the straight lines. They don't have like our time cars and tanks. They have soldiers with horses. That's what they have. So they are moving in a straight line. They go north. And that's what they did. So we're talking now about year 618. We said the beginning of the hurricane of the Tatars invasion was 616. One city, which is Bukhara, after the battle that took place with Muhammad ibn Khwarizm Shah. Then we have the year 617. And now we have 618. In those years, how many places were taken? Look at the list. That's page 23. Read the list. Kazakhstan. You know what is Kazakhstan on the map? You see how huge it is? Now, not all of it in our time, but most of it. That's the region of Kazakhstan, the northern one. Tajikistan. Turkmenistan. Uzbekistan. Pakistan, with the exception of Kerman. Okay. Afghanistan. Most of Iran. What was left from Iran? On the map, what is left from Iran? That strip on the Persian Gulf. Why? That is neighboring the borders of Iraq. That was ruled by what group? Excellent. By the Ismailis. And they were themselves, the Ismailis were very strong in themselves. They distinguished themselves from all groups. From the Dawla al-Khwarizmiya, from the Khilaf al-Abbasiyya. Why? They have their own beliefs. They are from the extreme Shia, from the Batiniyya. So they have their own beliefs. And with their own beliefs, they were minority, so they believed that only one thing could keep them surviving, which is power. Power. So they were actually well-trained people with very good equipment of weapons. So that was a strip. Other than that, most of these lands, with the exception, of course, of India, and that's why Kerman here, it was not occupied also, it was under that region, for the Ghuriyun, for the Islamic State there. Until now, all that, now just look at this map. How many states do we see in our current time? How many states do we see? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, at least 9 countries in our time, they were taken by the Tatars in 2 years. In 2 years. Now, I was asked how fast they were going. Normally, the Prophet ﷺ, when he mentioned the hadith, لا تسافر المرأة مسيرة يوم وليلة من غير محرم. It's not permissible for any woman that believes in Allah and the final day to travel the distance of one day without a mahram. You know, you all know this hadith, right? So what is the distance for one day on average? What is the distance of one day? You want to know that, you ask yourself, what is the distance that after which you could shorten the prayer? What is the distance? 81. 81 kilometers. That's the distance for who? For one individual. And as a traveler at their time, this is called marhalatayn. Marhala stage is 40 kilometers. So on average, it's 2 stages. Marhalatayn. That's for individual. Now what about the army? The army moves faster or slower than a traveler, one traveler? It has to be slower. Why? Lots of people, lots of equipment, lots of preparation. So the marhala is that, on average, that's what the army moves, which is approximately 40 to 60 kilometers. So that's how fast they were going. Now, when you move 40 kilometers, you expect that there is no resistance. Usually, if there is resistance, sometimes you cannot even move 10 kilometers. But at their time, for the Tatars, did they have any resistance whatsoever? No. No, the only time it was with Jalaluddin for a certain reason, but again that did not stop him. Immediately, Jalaluddin removed the success that he had. Now, we're entering year 620. We finished 617, 618, and 619. Now we're going to year 620. And in year 620, funny, tragic, strange incidents, you call them whatever you want. Now, in that year, stay on the map and see the line, the straight line from here. Okay? Didn't we say that these all were occupied? Now, the Tatars, they are moving this way. The one that is the northern army of the Tatars, they are moving this way. And that marks year 620, remember it, that marks the first conflict and fighting between the Tatars and the non-Muslims in Russia. If you go back to the previous map on page 11 and on page 8, and you see the state of Russia in the distinguished color on the top, that is Russia on page 11. I will not go back here, but you can easily go back. Do you see it? Russia. It's on the top. The only state on the top. That's Russia. So that's now on year 620. Why is that? For the Tatars, they don't distinguish. You are a Muslim. You are a non-Muslim. We have an objective. We have a purpose. We want to be the sole power of the entire world. So they went ahead, and that was the contact with the Russians. But in that year, they were defeated on the bank of the river Volga. What is it called in English? The river
Volga.
That's the river in Russia where they met the two armies, the army of the Tatars and the army of the Russians. And the Tatars were defeated. That caused the Tatars to go back and regroup. Okay? From time to time, every couple of years, every 20 battles or so, they are defeated once. That is causing them to go back and regroup and plan. So that's what took place in year 620. That led with another factor, which is the absence of a ruler in the state of Khwarizm, that led to the appearance of another ruler for Khwarizm, the state of Khwarizm. And that was the man, another son for Muhammad ibn Khwarizm Shah, Ghiyath al-Din. We had Jalal al-Din. Where is Jalal al-Din now? On the run. He's still not dead yet, right? He's in India. We have another brother, Ghiyath al-Din. Now, Ghiyath al-Din appeared in part of Iran. The next part to the region that is controlled by the Ismailis. Now, when the Tatars, they are occupying certain land, they are moving on. They leave only a group of soldiers. That's it. But they did not really occupy the entire land, only the city. So that helped the appearance of this man, Ghiyath al-Din. Now, Ghiyath al-Din, just like his brother, just like his father, he wanted to defeat the Tatars. They fought him, they fought his father, they fought his brother. So Baghdad was feared to be besieged. The Khalifa himself, earlier, he declared the enlistment in the military, right? So, I mean, common sense says what? What does it suggest now? Imagine yourself in one of those groups. Wouldn't you call for a conference? Wouldn't you call for unity between the Khawarizms who are left and the Abbasids to unite against the Tatars who are next door? I mean, that's usually what should happen. Instead, what happened? What happened? The Khalifa in Baghdad, we're talking about year 620, okay? The Khalifa in Baghdad considered that man, the son of Muhammad ibn Khwarizm Shah, his enemy. He considered him his enemy. And he wanted to fight him instead of helping him. What did he do? He paid money to the uncle of Ghiyath al-Din to fight his nephew. Now, that man was defeated. And Ghiyath al-Din was victorious. Of course, after what? After what? After huge losses from both parts, from those two groups. Are they Muslims? Yes. Muslims fighting each other? Yes. What time was that? When the Tatars are waiting. Ghiyath al-Din, when he finished, what did he do? The Khalifa is the one who paid money to that man. I'm going to attack the Khalifa. He moved to Baghdad. But he cannot go straight. The way straight is not open. He went to the south. What is south of Baghdad? What large city south of Baghdad, if you know geography? Guys? No, Mosul in the north. Basra, right? He attacked Basra. Who is in Basra? Muslims or non-Muslims? Muslims! That's what Muslims were doing at that time. Now the Khalifa of the Muslims, what did he do? He sent letters to the Tatars. Come and help me. Can you believe that? I mean, do you bring the enemy to your backyard? But Genghis Khan did not listen. Alhamdulillah, he did not. Otherwise, I told you, wallahi, there was a chance in year 618 for Baghdad to fall. And Allah saved it. Then this is a chance again in year 620. He is inviting them to come. Isn't that the case nowadays when we are inviting non-Muslims to come to take our land as a base to attack another Muslim land? Look at the parallels. Anyways, so that's what happened in the year 620. Another unbelievable incident. Go back, please, to the map on page 11. This time I have to go back, maybe. By the way, this is the first time we give this course, so we want your feedback if it was okay or you needed much more maps. We will hear from you in the feedback. Now, if you look at the map, the very far left of the map, on the top, you have the sea. In the map, that's the sea that you will see. This one. Okay? Here, there are two small states. Two small states. This one and that one. One in the purple color and one almost pink. Did you see them? Yeah, it's Caspian. It's not really that important where exactly it is. This is called Mamlakatul Kurj. At that time, it is Christian kingdom. Small one, almost a circle. I will go back. No worries. Here and here. You see them? Now, this one is Christian state and that one. This one is called what? Al-Kurj. Kurj. Mamlakat Al-Kurj. You saw it? The top one. Okay? Now, here, what is this here in our time?
Anatolia.
What is this country?
Anatolia.
What is Anatolia? There is no country now. Turkey was ruled by who at that time?
Muslims.
Ad-Dawla Saljuqiyya. All right. Now, this Kurd state, Christian state, was ruled by a woman, single woman. Single woman and queen. Okay? And she is accepting suitors for marriage. All right? So, nobody in her state was fit for her. So what do we see? We see the Muslim ruler from the Seljuks offering his son. Why not you marry my son? And we make everybody happy. She refused. Why she refused? He's a Muslim. No problem. What do you want him? I want him Christian. He becomes Christian. And that's what happened. That's what happened in year 620. Okay, remember that. Nowadays, maybe we don't have official marriages, but we have many other things going on between Muslims and non-Muslims against the Muslims. Now, when this happens, when Muslims are so weak like that, what do you expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Punishment. And that's exactly what happened. Both Imams, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah and Ibn al-Athir, both of them, they documented natural disasters in year 620. Prices were very high in Baghdad and in other locations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent soldiers against the crops and the vegetation. So there were famines, there were hungers common in the Muslim land. And the grasshoppers, they ate almost all the harvest. That is written. Again, why is that? You say, why Allah is doing this? And the answer is there. قُلْ هُوَ Say, it is from your own selves. قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ So that was year 620. Now, moving to year 621. Ghiyasuddin. Back to Ghiyasuddin. You remember him? The one who attacked Al-Basra. The one who wanted to fight the Khalifa. He is not quiet yet. He wants to strengthen his kingship. So again, he fought some wars with another ruler, Sa'duddin ibn Dakla. Sa'duddin, is he a Muslim? Yes, he is a Muslim. After fierce battles between the two groups, they agreed to divide the small region that they barely rule. The west of Persia, the east of Iraq, it's half a country even nowadays. And that half was divided at that time. Why? Why they were fighting? Were they fighting because they want the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be superior? No. They were just looking for any position of leadership. When he was strengthening, look at the openings of Muslim Ummah at the beginning of the age of the Khulafa, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was the purpose behind sending the armies at the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu? What was the purpose? It was to spread the correct religion, the correct aqidah. Is that the case here? No, it's totally the opposite. So let's go ahead and divide the land. Similar to this, actually, this is year 621. Wallahi, almost the same time in the other part of the world, in Al-Andalus. And inshallah, this will come in the next class. In Al-Andalus, one of the leaders, after Al-Andalus was divided, every Muslim leader took small part and declared himself Amir al-Mu'mineen. One old leader, he was on the deathbed. So he had two sons. He had two sons. One of them is older, but not as good as the younger. So he did not know what to do. He consulted with his deputies, with his council. What should I do? I don't want to do injustice to any one of them. So what did he do before his death? His small portion was divided also. He gave his older son part and his younger son another part, so everybody will be happy. Who's everybody? His two sons. At the expense of what? Of dividing the country. That's what he did. What happened immediately after his death? You will take that, inshallah, in the history of Andalus. What happened? Immediately after his death, the two brothers from the same father and mother, they started fighting each other. And one of them sought the help of the crusaders against his own brother. And then we come now and we say, Subhanallah, that's happening. Yes, that's happening, even now. I don't want to mention specific names, but have you ever looked at some of the rulers of the Muslim nations? Have you seen how they got to the position of ruling at the expense of their father, or their brother, or their grandfather? Wallahi, you'll be amazed how many rulers did that in our time. Maybe it was not clear as it did happen before, but it's taking place. That's another parallel that you could draw. Anyways, so they fought, and they divided that small region that was ruled by the Muslims in Khawarizm. The Tatars now, they are starting to fall back for a reason. They kept their soldiers, but the main army is falling back. As you see, you saw from the list, it's huge land. And they were expanding, and nothing is stopping them. But at the same time, there were some factors. One of them is the aging of the Khan. You know, the Khan is a title in Mongolia, just like Caesar is a title. Just like Kisra is a title. The same thing. Genghis Khan. And they call him Al-Khan Al-Azam, the greatest, meaning the ruler. Any ruler, just like Pharaoh, title of a ruler of Egypt. The same thing for Khan in Mongolia. I didn't mention that earlier. One of you, I think, asked about this. Khan, in the Tatars, for the Mongols, it means the ruler. So he was the great Khan, Genghis Khan. He was aging, and he was feeling weakness. So, slowly, things were quiet in year 621, but again, 3,000 soldiers only of the Tatars, they occupied Array, the city of Array. Currently, the city of Array is in Iran. In Iran, okay? So they are taking places from the Muslims still. Another incident. Look what Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions. Year 620 and year 621, there were disasters. Again, rain was little. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withheld the rain. Now, these are reminders for us. Nowadays, people complain, oh Allah, I lost my job, I was paid that much, I'm paid less now. Instead of becoming more dedicated to the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of thinking of the great things that Allah azza wa jal gave you, you are asking for more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking from you more. And that's what happened. Instead, the Muslim should thank Allah for what he gave. Because the problem, many times we take what we are given for granted. So Allah gave you many things, and you're not thanking Him for them, you're asking for more, so let's take them from you. You don't deserve them. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And remember when your Lord declared, proclaimed, if you are grateful, you will be increased. If you are ungrateful, this will be taken from you. And that's what is happening. At that time, Muslims were in a difficult situation. So how could Allah help them? By them returning to the religion of Allah. Instead, they were just doing what they were doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept punishing them. Subhanallah, things became worse and worse. So now, the grasshoppers were not only in the region of Iraq, they moved to Diyarbakir. Where is Diyarbakir? Do you know? Diyarbakir. It's in Turkey. In the place where that man married his son to the queen. Subhanallah. Okay, Mosul, the north of Iraq, the same thing as well. It was ruled at that time. And other cities. Okay, now we are moving to the next year, year 622. Now, from year 617, or actually 618, until year 622, approximately 5 years for Jalaluddin on the run. Remember Jalaluddin? The one with the two victories against Genghis Khan? Now he is coming back. Why he is coming back? Not to fight the Tatars, but because the news came that his brother, who is his brother? Ghiyath al-Din, he is ruling. So he was a ruler before him. How come he allows his younger brother to rule? He came to take the rulership from his brother. That's what caused him to come back. So there was Sa'd al-Din ibn Bakla. And there was Ghiyath al-Din. He allied with Sa'd al-Din against his own brother. With his relative against his own brother. So that shows the magnitude of division amongst Muslims at that time. At the end of the year 622, as I told you, an important incident took place, which was the death of the Khalifa. The death of the Khalifa, who ruled for the longest period of time as Abbasi Khalifa. Who ruled after him? His son. He ruled for 9 months only. Only for 9 months. Ibn al-Athir rahimahullah, subhanallah, Ibn al-Athir rahimahullah says, he says, if somebody said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not produce for the Muslim ummah any ruler that is more just after Umar ibn Abdul Aziz than this man, he would be telling the truth. He would be telling the truth. This man was very righteous. Subhanallah, Allah says, يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ. He brings forth the living from the dead. His father ruled for 47 years, but almost he was dead. This man, his son, he was very just. His father imposed taxes on people. His father was caring only about his own whims and desires. His son was righteous. Ibn al-Asir rahimahullah says, this man, this ruler, is not for our time. Our time is the time of fasad. I don't think Allah will keep him along because we don't deserve him. And that's what happened. A scholar has knowledge of what's going on, subhanAllah, just like a prediction. That's what happened. Only 9 months. This Khalifa ruled. And then he died. And then we have the last Khalifa of the Muslims of the Abbasid dynasty from year 622 until year 656. Al-Mustansir. Okay? But anyways, you see, subhanAllah, sometimes people say, when we will have a righteous man? Well, who knows what guarantees we have that if there is really a righteous man, we will not accuse him of terrorism. We will not drive him crazy. We will not go against him. In Arabic, we have beautiful poetry because there are many poems about, they were composed about the victories of Muslims. Ya Salah ad-Din, oh Salah ad-Din. Addressing Salah ad-Din, rahimahullah, the one who achieved the victory against the crusaders. So one writer, he said, how many times are you calling upon Salah ad-Din? Maybe if he came now, you will kill him. كَمْ مَرَّةٍ تُنَادُونَهُ لَوْ جَاءَ حَقًّا لَكُنْتُمْ تَقْتُلُونَهُ. You might kill him. So this is the situation at year 622. Things, as I told you, were calming down. Not more lands are opening. First, you keep this in mind. The Muslim land is at the west of the Tatar state. But there is south also. Genghis Khan was expanding in China as well. We did not mention anything there because it doesn't really concern us. But he was there. He was aging. He was reaching his death. And he did die in the year 624. That marks the most important incident in year 624. The death of Genghis Khan. Now, when a Khan dies, their system that he established, he was the first one. Their system was that the tribe or the council members, they choose the ruler after him. Genghis Khan died, he had three sons. Remember, those three sons, they were the leaders of the army. Each army was one on the north, one in the middle, and one in the south. They came together to choose one of them. And they chose. There was Menko Khan, and there was Kublai, and there was the father of Baraka. Remember this name, Baraka. He will become the Muslim, but we're not talking about him yet. Okay? So they chose not Menko Khan, not Kublai, they chose Okitai. Remember this name, Okitai. Now Okitai became Okitai Khan. He was now the ruler. Okitai, he had a different policy than Genghis Khan. Now, from your observation so far, what was the policy of Genghis Khan? I can't hear you. Expansion. Take as much land as possible. Okitai, no. Seize control of what you have. Make the best of what you have. Still, the target is there. What target? Destroying the Abbasi Khilafah. But, you do it the right way. Now it's not the time of expansion. My father did lots of expansion. So now I will take a step backwards and I am strengthening my positions in the land. So almost from year 628 until year 634, almost there was nothing. Only the strengthening of the army of the Tatars. Now, a question has to come to everyone's mind. Where were Muslims at that time? Where were Muslims? Less than 10 years ago, now we're talking about, let's say, year 624, year 626. 10 years ago, many cities fell. Did Muslims give in? Just like that? Nisabur, Bukhara, Maru, Samarkand, and all these cities, and that's it? It's part of the history, it's gone? Shouldn't they come together? Shouldn't they try to do something about it? They should, but they did not. They kept on doing what they have been doing day and night. Now, is that similar to our situation? I ask myself this sometimes. What it takes for Muslims to move, to kick out the Israelis from Palestine? What does it take? Many people say it takes Al-Mahdi to come. Right? I mean, every day we have news on TV. Every day they say that the Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa might fall. They are making excavations. They are doing lots of things underneath. They are destroying Al-Masjid from the bottom, from its bases. So what? It became regular news. Do you think that if Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa collapsed, people will move? I don't know. I mean, I don't think so, actually. Because many Muslims, for them, they became used to doing what they are doing. As long as I am okay, then that's fine. Then that's fine. And that is the problem. As I told you, from the beginning of the course, a true Muslim is the one who thinks of the others. They started with the other yesterday, today they will come to you. They will reach you. Eventually they will come to you. So you better be prepared. It is a problem when I consider everyone else the other. As long as it is with the other, it's not with me, then that is fine. Anyway, so these are the incidents from the time of year 624 when the Akitai took place until year, you have it in the book, in the notes, until year 634. You have a mention which is important, remember it, in year 634, the mentioning of Shormajan. We said that Akitai did not expand, but at the same time, there were some what we call attrition attacks. Attrition attacks, when you try to exhaust any source of resistance. Akitai did not prevent that from happening, authorized that, but he did not do it full-fledged like his father did. From year 628 until year 634, which is literally like from year 624 until 634, almost 10 years, there were no attacks. No attacks against the Muslims. Only that attack from Shormajan, attrition. What about the Tatars in the other places? There were armies dispatched to other locations, to Europe. Okay, you told me actually to continue, but this is really important to mention it separately. I will do it in a short session. That's okay. So I will stop here for quick break. 5 minutes break only. If you have any questions so far about the period from year 620 until 634, almost 14 years. Quickly, yes. What, Jalaluddin? Yeah, these are titles. Jalaluddin, Ghiyathuddin. You know what's the meaning of Jalaluddin? The honoring of the religion. Ghiyathuddin, the saving of the religion. And they were exactly the opposites of the name. Just like in Al-Andalus, as they say, the titles of fake rulers, just like the cat when it says it is a lion. Any other questions? Quickly, because we need to finish the next session by 3:50, inshallah. Well, what rulers?
Whichever one.
That is the problem. At that time, we really don't see like a prominent scholar that is specifically addressing these issues. That era, subhanAllah, it almost like came from all sides. Like Muslims were away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge was not there in the form of scholars. And leaders were not righteous. So it came from all sides. But later on, we will see the role of the scholars, just shortly after that. Okay, 5 minutes break, inshallah. 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. This audio file has been prepared for Al-Kawthar Institute students who have attended this course. Please do not distribute this file without written permission from Al-Kawthar Institute. For more information on our courses, please visit www.alkawthar.org. www.alkawthar.org. Jazakallah khair.